People learn things in many ways, says Peter Rayner, one of the few film critics still employed by a newspaper, the Christian Science Monitor. Rayner felt the first rumblings of passion for the movies while watching TV in his New York childhood. It was a low-rent program featuring old movies, broadcast under the ironic title Million Dollar Movie.
I believe it was on Channel 9, and they would show the same movie every night, sometimes more than once per night, for an entire week. And so you could see the same film, if you were that nutty, 7, 8, 9 times in a week. And I actually did that. I was so entranced by some of these films that I memorized them.
At this moment, it seems obvious to point out that that was pretty much the only way you could get to see a film that many times, short of taking up residence in a movie theater. Not entirely practical for a young boy.
I never realized till now how ugly I am.
Charles Laughton in The Hunchback of Notre Dame was my favorite, I think, and I would go around imitating scenes from that movie and Laughton.
I'm not a man. I'm not a beast.
He saw it over and over again.
I'm about as shapeless as the man in the moon.
The repetitiveness of it sort of made the movie your friend.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
They showed musicals, film noir, horror films.
I know you kill people to sell bodies.
And if you were scared at some films like The Body Snatchers with Boris Karloff was another one that they always had on, you know, that movie really scared me.
You and I should work together.
You mean we would sell the bodies to the doctors together?
But you see it often enough, and then you kind of face up to it, and then you realize you're strong, and you know, it was a kind of rite of passage.
But after he entered the film criticism business 30 years ago and his million-dollar musings on college writings were left behind, he went west and worked for the L.A. Herald Examiner, among other papers.
I hooked into this dynamo of the newspaper business.
And there were pressures and complications and commercial considerations.
There were times when, particularly writing for Los Angeles publications in the heart of Hollywood, where, you know, it was sort of like being the car critic for the Detroit News. You know, if you pan the latest model that comes off the assembly line, you're going to hear about it. It was very difficult at times to navigate that company town syndrome.
Rayner, along with a lot of other critics, fell under the formidable spell of film critic Pauline Kael in the early years. At the time, the powerful New Yorker writer Kael was arguing weekly in print with the brilliant Village Voice critic Andrew Saris. The popular sport among passionate filmgoers was comparing and discussing and dissecting their views. And Kael's book, I Lost It at the Movies, had made her an icon.
I was very influenced by her. You know, initially, I got to know her a bit. And all of that was good for a while. But, you know, ultimately, you sort of have to find your own way. And it was a sort of difficult, painful process. So I guess in the Kael-Saris wars, I was a Paulette as opposed to a Sarisite.
Now, a couple of decades later, Peter Rayner has his own book of film criticism in which he can take down a hit with the best of them. Of Sam Mendes' American Beauty, the Oscar-winning film starring Kevin Spacey as a suburban male in midlife crisis, he writes, American Beauty plugs into a widespread boomer paranoia. He goes on to say, it flatters its audience by turning burnout and midlife itch into tragic states. But a zero in torment is still a zero.
1970 Pontiac Firebird, the car I've always wanted, and now I have it. I rule!
I was surprised when that film came out at the powerhouse reaction that it had from so many people. To me, it all seemed, you know, rather thin.
Of Catherine Bigelow's Zero Dark Thirty, which dramatizes the hunt for Osama bin Laden, Rayner writes, Bigelow neutralizes the most controversial and charged aspects of this story.
He's living in a house in Abbottabad, Pakistan, and we assess that one of the other occupants of the house is UBL.
My problem with the movie was not that they depict torture, but that they don't depict really the human consequences of it. So it turns a very complicated story on so many levels into a glorified police procedural.
But the critic writes ecstatically about plenty of films, including what you would have to call a slight obsession of his, the 1955 movie written by James Agee and directed by Charles Laughton. Night of the Hunter, about a deranged preacher's pursuit of two young runaways in Depression-era Ohio. Robert Mitchum is the preacher in what Rayner considers the best performance of Mitchum's stellar career.
Ah, little lad, you're staring at my fingers. Would you like me to tell you the little story of right hand, left hand? The story of good and evil?
He calls the 1950s film a masterpiece. He'll be introducing a public screening of Night of the Hunter this weekend.
Everything about it is remarkable. The score by Walter Schumann, and everything about this film is absolutely one of a kind. And when it came out, 12 people saw it.
In an era of very specific genre films, he says this one broke the mold.
And so I think it was a precursor for films like Bonnie and Clyde, or the original Manchurian Candidate, or Blue Velvet, that have this similar quality of being, you know, sort of wacky and frightening and lyrical and passionate and pastoral and jagged.
Rayner reckons he's seen 250 films a year for every one of the 30 years he's been writing about movies.
At least, yeah. And that's a lot. I mean, that really is a lot. And I would say maybe 200 of those are disposable.
Certainly no time to retreat into the comfort of seeing the same classic comedy or noir drama 9 times in a week. And maybe a little less pleasure in criticizing a film that doesn't really pull it off.
It turns out, after you've seen, you know, 40,000 movies like I have, that there are only so many ways that a movie can go wrong. It's much more of a challenge to try to rise to the occasion and do justice to a great film.
On to screening number 29,842. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.